an animal.
Dan Hemp. Dan Hemp anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
He's a Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer. He's my partner on Fox Kickoff Sunday next to Lou Kanellis. It's number 99, Dan Hampton. Hamp?
DD, how are you?
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Good morning, buddy. You know, the last 25 years at Soldier Field, the Packers are 20-5.
And let me think back. What have the Packers brought to Soldier Field that we don't have?
Quarterback.
That's a quarterback by
an
the name
offense.
Of Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. That's a pretty good. That's a pretty good combination. And once again, and you know, I got to tell you, I was listening to the game call of our old buddy Jeff Joniak, and after the big play at the end of the game, vintage Rodgers, vintage Nelson. How about vintage Fox? Vintage losers, because it's almost like the whole thing was set up just to gut punch us at the end. And of course, John Fox, you know, the bungler in chief, he mismanaged the clock down the stretch of the last 90 seconds, enabling the Packers, you know, not only ample time and opportunity, but hey, if you don't think they're good enough to do it, they've done it to a lot of other people too.
Well, before we talk about the last play or one of the last plays with Jordy Nelson, that bomb, let's talk about the Bears. Should they have gone for it on fourth down or could kick the field goal? Because Dave and I talked about this earlier. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, and I've often said this, you know, you are who you are, and if you think you can do it, do it. Well, obviously, John Fox doesn't think we can do it. I think we are 31st in the league on fourth down conversion rate. Now, fourth down conversion rate is tough enough out on the 50 or the 40. Well, when you get down in the compression of the goal line, it obviously increases. Now, I you know, you could throw stats out, teams that go through, you know, go forward on fourth and three or whatever. And it's not very good. But here's the overarching, you know, thought. If you don't convert it, it's over. Well, if you kick, you know, a chip shot field goal, you can live to fight again. The Packers could fumble the kickoff. Aaron Rodgers could throw a pick six. We just had one a week ago. All these. Well, if you don't convert it, and you know, I didn't have a problem with them, you know, basically going ahead and saying, hey, we're going to play for overtime. Well, you can't botch and bungle the time management and give them all that time. You should have took the 10-second runoff, should have run a play and run the clock down, all these different things.
Right.
And, again, you in the autopsy of a close loss like that, I mean, every play is the ball game, and we just frittered away any opportunity we had to really be in control. We basically deferred and allowed Aaron Rodgers to dictate what we were going to do and how we're going to lose.
You know, case in point, Hamp, if you look at the Philadelphia-Baltimore game yesterday, Philadelphia put a late drive together, right?
I saw that.
Most of the last 2 minutes, scored with 4 seconds to go. They're down by one. They went for two and missed and lost by one. But had they tied the game, then they're in overtime. It's over. If they kick the point, they know they're in overtime. Now, the difference, they were on the road. The Bears were at home.
Absolutely. And my old rule of thumb is when you're on the road, you go for it. Hey, you know, you throw it against the wall, see what sticks. At home, you play percentages. You get the home field, the home crowd, all those different things. I don't have a problem with Fox, you know, kicking – The field goal. The problem was the 58 and a half minutes of stuff before that contributed to the point where, you know, we were in that position. You know, kudos to the offense coming out in the fourth quarter and in a never say die attitude that this kid Matt Barkley has brought, you know, from the hinterlands where, you know, he was cut by Arizona. He was, you know, looking at, you know, virtually a bleak career in the NFL, and then due to the injuries, he has now been given an opportunity where he has not only embraced the stage, but you could say he played as well as Marcus Mariota. 3 weeks ago, he outplayed Kaepernick, he outplayed Stafford. In my estimation, he outplayed Aaron Rodgers. When you look at the sum total of the players around him, I mean, he's throwing the ball to somebody named Deontay Thompson. Who the – nobody ever heard of him? Hey.
We don't know these receivers.
We know who Devontae Adams is. And for what this kid was able to do, score 17 points in the fourth quarter, there's a lot of stuff about that I really like. The grit and tenacity, all those things. But you know what? I mean – How can we give up 162 yards to somebody that used to play wide receiver and all these different things? I've been beating the drum that this team has gotten so how should I put it? We have been duped because certain position coaches have not been able to hold up their end of the bargain. And, yep. I've been talking about the stances of the defensive linemen. And a lot of people go, oh, who cares? It's like how you push your shopping cart. It really doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. And you know what? We have continually kind of been, the defense has lost its integrity,
yep,
because the defensive linemen are getting turned on these run blocks. And when your defensive linemen get turned, then you allow the jump through, the linebackers start having to guess, and undercut blocks, all these different things creating, bad run fits. And the next thing you know, a smart team like the Packers is going to take advantage of it with a nobody, nothing back that they throw up 260 yards of rushing on us. So there's a lot of reasons why, we're proud of the comeback, but unfortunately, a good team would have never been in that position.
Right. You got to put pressure on the quarterback. We're talking with Dan Hampton, Hall of Famer. Now, I coach defense for my 11-year-old son, Charlie McMurray's flag football team. And if we're up by a few points at the end of the game, we have one rule. And every kid who is 11 years old knows this rule. Don't let anyone behind you. Now, if my sixth grader, Charlie McMurray, 11 years old, he knows that rule. And we talked about it yesterday. We're all watching the game as a family together. If he knows that, how come the Bears can't get this right?
It's crazy. I remember on occasion last year, Vic Fangio, it's hard to pick at him. He's done an amazing job, and we like him a lot. But the one thing, do you remember last year where he had this crazy defense where he would put four guys across the end zone and then a bunch of linebackers 30 yards, down the field? Mm-hmm. And it was bizarre. Well, at least that would have given us a chance,
yeah,
of making a play on a deep ball. And for Cravon LeBlanc, who, hey, we applaud this kid. He's fought and he's earned the right to be a starter and all those things. That's a tough gig covering Jordy Nelson one-on-one. I don't know, and we'll find out over the course of the next day or two, why the safety, whoever it was, and I'm guessing it was Amos that jumped one of the short crossing routes. Well, as you said, the 11-year-olds in the stands know, forget the crossing route. It's Jordy Nelson on a post that's
yes.
going to get you beat. And why and how they allow that, it's just perplexing to me. And, again, there's a lot of reasons to say, wow, this last month of the season, I have had a lot my interest renewed and it's kind of got me anticipating, how they're going to play the next week. And I've kind of re-engaged because the team looks like they're really caring now. Where was this effort in September? Where was this intensity and commitment in October?
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly why John Fox was run out of Denver, because John Elway said, I ain't going to do your job and mine too.
Right. I agree with you 100%.
I'm not going to get into the blame game. I think our guys fought hard. We had an opportunity to win a game and came up short, and it's happened quite a few times here of late.
I think we've seen progression every week, and this, again, it's just really a matter of execution for four quarters. And We've been so close in a number of games now for the last couple of weeks, and we're still shooting ourselves in the foot.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran on the phone with us, number 99 Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. Vic Fangio, our defensive coordinator, has used 13 defensive backs this season, 9 of them rookies or second-year players. That's a crazy stat right there.
Yeah, especially when you look at the fact that in our division we've got to play Aaron Rodgers twice and Matt Stafford twice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, essentially, we have watched this defense, and Vic Fangio talked about it this week. He said, when I got here, I virtually had nothing. No usable parts or pieces. And over the course of, you know, almost 2 years now, he has built this thing. I think they were seventh in overall defense. So a top third defense, essentially, from thin air. And so you got to give Ryan Pace a lot of credit. You got to give Vic Fangio a lot of credit. But Ed Donatell is the defensive back coach, and he has done an amazing job. Now, remember, you know, this young kid, Bosby, they cut him a week ago and then re-signed him to the practice squad because they are constantly churning that secondary, looking for the right pieces and parts. And we know that we've got to get more turnovers. Adrian Amos has started, what, almost 30 games as a starter at free safety, and he still has yet to come up with an interception. So a lot of that is, you know, it's a level of comfort where you feel like you can make breaks on the ball. You don't have to play safe. You can be more instinctive. But the other part of it is we've had some good pressure, some good rushes. Pernell McPhee had his best game of the year.
Yep.
And last week, early in the game against the Lions, Pernell McPhee drew two holding calls that changed the whole way the Detroit offense approached that football game. But all that being said, we have not had enough of the kind of pressure that forces errant throws for easy picks. So, you know, those defensive backs, I know it's a work in progress. But, you know, this kid, Cravon LeBlanc, he came out of nowhere, and he has done a pretty darn good job. And, you know, Tracy Porter hasn't had his best year, but they are not the reason why the Bears are losing games.
All right, well, let's look at the offense real quick, Hamp. And we talked last week about Matt Barkley. Obviously, he had a couple of moments he'd like to have back yesterday. One of them apparently was the wrong route by the receiver on the interception, but still he brought him back in the fourth quarter, and he continues to show every week. I think he's showing the ability to play at this level. Why did it take so long, though, to get the ball to Alshon Jeffrey?
Early in the game, the Packers, realizing he was, you know, obviously the most gifted of the wide receivers, they were playing a little bit of an over-the-top box with Alshon, and in essence, it was looking like a double team. And one of the reasons why I like this kid Barkley is he doesn't waste time. He goes through the progression. He doesn't hang up. He's not looking at the first guy too long or the second. He goes bang, bang, bang. And when he looks and he sees the safety over the top and it commits to whatever route Alshon's running, well, he goes right on. And so he was not in a position to throw the ball to Alshon because he's not going to force the ball, and that's a great thing. He makes decisions and he commits. Later in the game, some of the other receivers like Cam and Thompson were starting to hurt the Packers, so they came off of that, and essentially were playing a pretty soft zone, and that's why Alshon was able to get the ball in the fourth quarter. And that's kind of part of the bigger piece of the puzzle, which is here. You know, Alshon was essentially a no-show for a month with the suspension for PEDs, and then he was virtually a non-factor in the game for three quarters due to the fact that, okay, well, the Packers were trying to double him, and he doesn't seem to have the ability to present and break away and separate when he is being doubled. So, you know, there's a lot about that Ryan Pace and this, whichever coaching staff we have over the offseason, they're going to have to evaluate just what the value is to a player that can basically disappear for essentially 5 weeks in a row, and what do you got to show for it?
Right. It's so frustrating. We have the Redskins' last home game Saturday on Christmas Eve. Sunday is Christmas Day. Does a Dan Hampton go to Carson Perry Scott and shop for his wife, Gina Marie? Are you doing the actual shopping, Dan?
That's need-to-know information.
What about little Dan? How old is
little
he now?
Dan, hey, you know, he's going to get coal in his stocking. He hasn't been so great this year. He's causing me some gray hair. But let me just tell you about the Redskins. Here we go, another team, the third in a row now that we've got to play that, you know, is fighting for a playoff spot. I remember last year we were saying, oh, we're going to beat the Redskins. I was standing on the sidelines, and Kirk Cousins puts together a 13-play masterpiece touchdown drive right down the field. So if we think, oh, well, the Redskins aren't all that in a bag of chips, trust me, they're going to come in here loaded for bear, no pun intended, and let's see if we can't find a way to win. As you know, John Fox now has a record of 9 wins, 21 losses. That's not too far away from Gus Bradley land.
It's so upsetting. It really is. And yeah. The only bright spot, Jordan Howard this season.
Well, Jordan Howard and Barkley.
Okay.
I think he's a bright spot.
Hey, guys, think about this. Matt Barkley throws for more passing yards than any quarterback in Bear history against the Green Bay Packers. We only gave up one sack, and that was the strip sack for Julius Peppers. But all of that being said, I mean, there's a lot of parts to this team that I think a really good coach, a smart coach, a competent coach would say, hey, I can take this team, make a, you know, tweak it a little bit, and hey, we're off to the races. So, you know, again, I'm proud of the way the guys on the team are not accepting this, this failure of a year. They're trying to do something about it. Albeit the last 2 weeks, you know, we've been undone by holding calls. But hey, they're bearing down, and that's all we can ask at this point.
Hamp, Merry Christmas. I'll see you on Fox this weekend, okay?
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.